On today's episode, we're going to talk about manifesting death, on this idea that if we think or put death in the foreground, death will come sooner. So listen in, because we have some thoughts on this subject.
So who leads the way, death or you?
Let's talk about death, baby. Let's talk about grief and mourning. Is it argumental or existential? What's it mean to me? Let's talk about death.
Nicholas Cabal, psychologist.
Hey, Nick, let's talk about death.
Let's do it.
All right, Doc, let's talk about manifesting death, okay? So I've actually listened to a lot of podcasts and thoughts on this, and I thought it was relevant enough to bring up, right? This idea that some people are so afraid to talk about death or to experience death, like coming to a funeral home or anything to do with death, even watch movies or something surrounding death, because if you do that, you're like opening the door for the Grim Reaper to come in and then you'll die soon.
But let me be real to anybody listening right now. You are going to die.
Absolutely. But I think the idea is you'll die
faster. We're not going to manifest it. It is going to happen.
No, but I understand. But like, and I know you know this, but for the listeners out there, people who believe that.
Ben, you said the word death 7 times now in this podcast. Does that mean that you just lost 7 years?
Maybe. How would I know?
Great question. If you die before me, maybe we got to talk about this differently.
I mean, we literally have a podcast called Let's Talk About Death. So we're really...
No. I think this is a normal worry, normal fear. And again, I think this goes to death anxiety, right? We don't talk about death because we believe that if we talk about it, something bad might happen.
Well, and on top of that, Doc, we are also 2 death professionals, right? And I think death professionals who deal with death daily know the importance of confronting it, right? Confronting it, bringing it up to the fore, talking about it, discussing it. But I do want to say, let's bring your epihe back in, which if you don't know, check out some other episodes, you'll find out. But it's basically losing all your subjective thoughts on what you've learned. And
it's setting it aside.
Cool. So let's say we didn't have this experience, Doc. I could foresee it. And I think there are some cultures that they do believe that there's certain things that will cause death. And I do know in my experience as a funeral director, there has been certain individuals that will not walk into a funeral home because of those, possibly. I'm not saying that everyone is specifically that reason, but I have heard that some people don't like to talk about death or be around death because in their opinion, it brings on death.
It's the same thing about why people avoid doctors.
Oh, because then they bring up that you have a problem.
Then you're going to be sick.
And therefore you're going to need this, which is, okay, it's like a spiral almost.
Why people don't go to the dentist.
The dentist?
Yeah, dude, dentists are scary.
Okay, all right.
If you're going to be really afraid of any doctors, is the dentist, right? Mm-hmm. The dentist is going to be painful.
No, but, you know, going back to this, Doc, so you...
Nothing against dentists out there. I have gone and seen them.
They're wonderful. Don't...
Some are better than others.
Agreed. So, Doc, here, let's get back on track
here. It's the gas.
If somebody comes into your office and brought this up, what would be...
And they were like, I can't talk about death.
I can't talk about death because if you bring it up, it's going to manifest my own demise.
I mean, you think about any anxiety, right?
Is there an actual a thing for that? I mean, obviously death anxiety.
But
is there an actual like...
Trigomania? I don't know.
Yeah, probably. Like I was saying, like, is there's there an actual...
You know, I probably should know this, but no. I mean, here's the thing, right? You can have a fear of anything. You have fear of water, fear of air. I mean, I think of Bubble Boy. What was it, Bubble Boy? Was it Bubble Boy?
What about Bubble Boy?
What was the movie?
Yeah, we couldn't...
Bubble Boy, where he was afraid of the air.
I think he was...
He's allergic to it or something that. And there's some people that are allergic to the sunlight.
Right.
You know, with what I guess what I'm saying is that, again, if you look at any issue, right, it's this idea of negatively affecting your life.
Right.
And I'm going to throw this out there for any of the listeners out there. If you are not talking about death,
you are not living.
But more importantly, if you're not talking about death and you're not learning. And again, let's be real, right? If we're not learning, we do set ourselves up for failure.
Okay.
Right? So my thing would be this. Any fear, if you research it or you shine light on it, it gets less scary.
Right, because you're more knowledgeable about it and you understand.
You're prepared. You're better prepared. You know what to look for. Now, does that mean it's less scary? Like, does that mean that it's not scary at all? No, absolutely. Death is always going to be scary.
Let me throw something in here, Doc. Maybe there is a historical reason for this. If you think about it, with the plague, right? If you were around death, it could cause you to die because of the airborne pathogens, right? Or if we talk about Ebola or in today, COVID, right? That was a huge thing. Like, if I get COVID, I could possibly die. We don't know. We didn't have the knowledge.
My dad said it best. Okay, if I put you in a room and you had a little table next to you and you had your bed ready and you had your, let's say, camping. You had like a little, what do you call that?
Lantern?
No. What do you get into when
tent?
You're camping?
It's called a tent.
No. What do you sleep in? Sleeping bag. Sleeping bag. There we go. Thank you. So, anyways, Zach. So you're in a sleeping bag. You have a little table, and you put your prized possessions, your wallet, your keys, all this stuff on the table, and I surround you with alive 7 strangers.
Okay.
What's the chances when you wake up that your stuff is still on that table?
Have no idea. We don't know who these 7 people are. But so probably
let me do the same thing.
I'd be frightened. I'll put it that way.
With 7 dead people.
I wouldn't be frightened, but that's not necessary.
Hold on. Would your stuff still be there?
Yes.
How would you know that?
You would be alive. But that doesn't mean that...
No, that's not what I just said. I said, would your stuff still be there?
Yes.
Why?
Because they're not going to get up and get it.
Because?
They're dead.
Which means what?
They're not living anymore.
So they can't move.
They cannot move. Okay. They're in.
So they cannot steal your stuff.
Correct.
They cannot take your stuff.
Correct.
So do you think these same dead people would take your life?
No, but you're not understanding where I'm coming from. Dead bodies can contain disease.
Absolutely.
They could kill you.
Absolutely, they could.
And there are certain diseases that can kill you very quickly.
But you can actually get worse diseases from alive people, too.
That's not my thing. I'm saying, do you think that because of our history, that maybe generationally it's been passed down to be afraid of fear or death because
Listen, dead people always have been a problem in society.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because if you bury them in a well or around a water source, it could kill you.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm saying, so there is some merit.
There's some logic to it.
Possibly. Now, I'm saying, obviously, just like everything else, right? It's like the telephone. You say it enough, eventually it gets flip-flop and turned around on you. And I think that's where some of the superstition comes from, is the idea that in the past, the dead have caused harm.
But if you are being cautious and you are being careful, and you were taken care of, it's just like trash, right? If I was to tell you for the next year, you can throw away trash, but you can't take the trash out of your house. What would happen?
Oh, yeah. It's going to cause a lot of problems.
Right. You're going to have bugs. You're going to have this kind of stuff. And then what would the bugs might give you stuff. Yeah, not good. Right.
Bacteria.
Actually, a pool is a great scenario. We're in summer right now. Right. If you don't put chemicals in a pool, what happens?
Yeah, absolutely.
Right? So my thing is like, yes, if you are not taking care of the deceased,
correct,
this could be a problem. That's what the Black Plague was all about, right?
Yep.
The bubonic plague, if we're going to call it, that's really what it was, right? Is that there was an infection. We didn't know how to take care of ourselves.
going. But this,
I mean, we can actually bring this to COVID.
That's
right?
What I was saying. This is a perfect example because COVID at the beginning. I'm not saying now. I'm saying at the beginning we didn't have the knowledge. We didn't know. We didn't know. And I remember even being a clinician as a funeral professional, going into wards not knowing how it actually was. We only knew what we knew.
But we can talk as a clinician, my side of the table, and say to you that we have enough research that proposes that not talking about death is actually more harmful.
Correct. Correct. And I think that's where...
Than talking about it.
I think that's where this conversation is so important, is the idea that actually talking about it, as scary as it is, actually causes less stress than not talking about it. Harm.
I'm going to say this. In my experience, I'm going to say this. If we don't talk about death,
correct,
we don't learn from it.
Okay.
It is important to also understand, because we truly believe that a person has the right to choose.
Right.
Just like medically, they have the right to choose if they're going to be a donor or not.
Correct.
Right? And we want to keep their wishes right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Same thing with, do they want to be cremated?
Right.
Do they want to be buried? It is important to know this information. Because if your mother or your spouse or your child dies before that is ever talked about, you are making your subjective experience into theirs.
Well, and I think all around, all in all, you hit it right at the beginning of this episode. We are all going to die regardless. So we can spend this time fearing it, which we've talked about. If we're fearing it,
we're
not living.
Or we can spend this time to prepare for it.
And actually experience life.
Now, does that necessarily mean that I want you to focus every day of your breathing moments on the day you're going to die? No. Absolutely not. Because if you're worried about death that much and you're thinking about anything to do with the moment that you stop to exist, that you you stop to breathe air, right? And we can argue millions of times.
But aren't they thinking about death by trying not to think about death? Isn't that the whole...
No, I think the beautiful part about life to really get over death anxiety is to live.
Oh, 100%.
So how do you do that? Moment to moment.
Yes. Be in the present.
Present. Mindfulness. Mindfulness. People, I think, you know, therapists will talk about mindfulness all day long, and people are like, sounds hippie-ish. Mm-hmm. Sounds like a real knob job over there. Yeah, but like, okay. The thing is, mindfulness, the idea of it is just being present. You know, I struggle with this... You know, my wife is going to hate me for this, but I'm going to talk about this anyways. So my wife is obsessed with picture taking.
Oh, we've talked about this. Yeah.
Picture taking. She will get on her phone every holiday or, you know, get together and we'll take all these pictures. And then she'll get upset with me because I don't take any. And again, there is we'll talk about this.
Extremes,
at the end.
Right?
There is extremes. We both need to move a little bit the other way. But when she argues with me, she'll say to me, why don't you take pictures? And I'll say, because these memories I want to experience. I don't need to prove that they happened.
Nor what are you missing by trying to get
the
camera
also think,
set up?
Let's be honest, you gotta get through the thumb thing, and then things are happening, and
if the person,
oh my gosh, we gotta go to portrait mode,
and then it gets staged, and then it's a whole thing.
My thing is that I don't ever want to look through a lens to experience my kids' lives,
right?
However, with that being said, I also understand the importance of documenting life. Because life does change very rapidly, especially when you have kids. Kids grow very fast. But with that being said, I think that's the thing that I'm talking about here is that mindfulness is so important. Because if you're not living, you're dying.
Yeah, and I think this, what comes to my mind, Doc, and I think...
Hold on. What was the Shawshank quote?
What?
Get busy living. Or get busy dying.
Yep. That's a good one. But I was also going to say, It's like the ultimate question that people always ask. If you could figure out the day and how you would die, would you want to know? And I think the more that I get older, the more I realize that I actually wouldn't want to know, because the idea is, in my opinion, life doesn't have enough surprises anymore. And it's not going to change the way I live. I really don't think. I really don't think it would change much about maybe for the first day, maybe for, you know, if you had that long, right? You have 10 seconds. Okay. Well, I guess that wasn't worth it. But the idea is, to me, I don't think it would change much. And I know I've heard other people communicate about this, that like, yeah, maybe at the first second, maybe the first week, you'd maybe do a couple bucket things, maybe. But in all honesty, you're still going to be you. And the thing that comes down to it is a good death should be defined by how it's lived, right? Going back to this conversation, right? I always love when pastors go up and they tell a eulogy. And I remember the and I've heard it a couple of times, but I think it's so important that it's interesting on our graves, our epitaphs have those two dates, but the real important dates are the ones that are in the middle, right? But I also think it's funny that, yet again, you have your birth date and your death date, that, Doc, you and I have talked so much how birth and death are so correlated. And please listen to a bunch of episodes because we go on that. But I think that question really kind of puts us all in perspective of, if you could find out when you die, would you really want to know? And I can be honest with you, I wouldn't. I wouldn't want to know. I honestly, if somebody could tell me today, I wouldn't want to know. And I think it comes down to this topic, right? Where it comes down to this idea of, we need to start not thinking these superstitions of, and I know, yet again, I know for some people that this sounds, you know, coming from a kid that grew up around death, is a fourth generation funeral director, I'm sure a lot of you are like, okay, well, that just makes sense because you've been surrounded by it. And for some reason that holds true. But I will say, I have seen so many people struggle with living because they're so caught up in this idea where if they bring up death, it'll come to them. And I just feel like they're losing out, Doc. I feel like they're losing out.
No, I agree with you. We have to accept our demise in the same time, acknowledge that we have to live.
Yeah, and I don't think death has to be this demise, Doc. I don't think it has to be this negative portrayal. I think death is as beautiful as being born. It's the same thing. It's like we've talked about before. It's just going on to a new.
I'm being
facetious. I know what you were saying, but I think
we have to end. We have to end physically. We have to end,
because if we don't end, then we don't begin. It's all.
Then what's the point of life?
Right.
You have to have the yin with the yang.
And with that, Doc, let's go into a Q&A.
Yes, do it. Q&A. Everyone loves that Q&A.
Those Q&As, we got those Q&As in everybody's Q&A. Yes. All right, Doc. You want me to do this? You feeling up for it?
Ask away.
Here we go. Question is, almost dying taught me how to truly live. Right there. Do we have to even go any further?
Almost dying taught me how to truly live.
All right, here we go. A couple of years ago, I was hit by a drunk driver. The driver and the passenger were both drunk and both also died in the crash. So sorry for those losses out there. I was paralyzed from the waist down and had to learn how to walk all over again. Ever since then, I felt like I was spared from death, and my outlook on life and death has changed dramatically. I love to live life now. Don't take any single moment of your life for granted, because it will change in an instant. Be it for better or for worse, almost dying taught me how to truly live. And I want to start, Doc, because I want you to answer this, but my first impression from this is how positive this is, especially for someone who now is paralyzed from the waist down. Like, how impactful that is to really, like, get into this. But go ahead, Doc, your thoughts on this. You want to take a breather on that? Okay. So my thoughts on this, Doc, is that title is basically the same synopsis of every podcast, Doc, we've had on here. And I think it's wonderful. I always like these close to death stories, because I do think it. I think the individuals who have this experience where they almost die or they are dead clinically and they get the opportunity to live, a lot of them have these nuggets. And it is truthful because we take for granted tomorrow. We take for granted tonight. We take for granted our crazy schedules, right? I'm so worried about tomorrow because of this paper. But in all honesty, we're not guaranteed that tomorrow for that paper. And I think how impactful and impressive this person, this individual, who really, you know, tells the story. And I don't want to put words in this question or this questioner's mouth or anything the person who made the statement, but it kind of sounds like they've forgiven to these individuals just the way that the words come across on the paper. And I could be wrong, and I'm sorry if I am for the listener out there that wrote this, but I think it's so impactful that this person had such a negative experience, and in their opinion came out with so much more of a positive one. Especially for some people may not have that same experience. But I really do truthfully believe he truly or she truly means it when they say, almost dying taught me how to truly live. Doc, your thoughts?
Mm-hmm. I'm still struggling with this.
Okay.
Not that I absolutely agree with what this person is saying, but like...
Is there so many more questions for you?
No, it's just... I think for everybody listening out there, just take a second to let that sink in, right? The idea that you were forced into this terrible, terrible experience by some people, right?
The drivers.
Yeah, you know, these people that weren't thinking about you. And to take that and not get... So one of the things I notice in a lot of my therapy is that we as human beings, we tend to focus on the negatives, right? We tend to look out, I call it the crap screen, right? If you look out the crap screen long enough, what are you going to see? Crap.
You see a lot of crap.
You're going to see a lot of crap. This is a person that a near-death experience forced them to look out the opposite side.
They cleaned that lens.
They didn't clean it. They noticed that they didn't have to look out that way. And I think that we as human beings, we get caught up in that all the time. We get focused on all the negatives. You know, my great-grandmother, Mildred, who I miss to this day, she always had a famous quote that, isn't that awful, right? And I think we all as human beings tend to go there. I also, in my experience, have been blessed enough to see certain people that can take that negative and turn that frown upside down, right? And what a eye-opening acknowledgement for all of us listeners out there that... We take so much stuff for granted, and we never take the time to sit back and acknowledge the good that's going on around us. And anybody listening today, I would challenge you to do that today. Just for me, do that today. Take a step back and acknowledge all the good that is around you. That you have a roof over your head, or that you're driving, that you can actually drive. We take all this so much for granted, and we really need to take a second to acknowledge it. No, that's all I got. That's all I got.
Doc, that's
all I got.
It's an awesome, I'm so glad this person wrote this in. I think it's very impactful. Revelation, really.
I just think that we really need, as human beings, to focus on the good. We have so much good around us, and we just tend to talk about the negative.
Well, it's wonderful you said the whole, we have the choice for perspective, right? Yeah. We have the choice to look through the crap lens. I like the crap lens. It's going to...
I use a different lens. Word when I normally talk about it, but this is PG.
Well, with that, Doc, I want to thank everybody for listening. Yet again, everybody out there, if you have any thoughts on today about manifesting death, or maybe you're one of these individuals and just anonymously want to tell us your story, or maybe you want to tell somebody else's story, feel free to email us at letstalkaboutdeathpod@gmail.com. I would also say the awesome people at the Grief Works app have given us the opportunity to give you 15% off their app, which is absolutely wonderful, and it may help you with your grief or somebody who is really struggling with grief if they could use this. This is a very awesome opportunity.
And if you're stuck looking out the crap lens when it comes to grief, this is a great app to start maybe changing some of those thoughts.
So you're going to want to head to illumapps.com/LTAD, as in Let's Talk About Death. Yet again, you can even look under this episode. We'll have the link down there for you to help you out. But absolutely, yet again, you can get 15% off. It's just a great resource. Yet again, go out there, subscribe, send us emails, send us your thoughts. Really just, send this out to somebody who, I challenge you to send this out to somebody who's really struggling with grief right now. I'm sure all of us can think of one or two people. Send us out. I think this is important. Mm. And at the end of the day, these are the conversations and the thoughts that are really going to help certain people. So if you are not talking about death,
then you are not living. Thank you so much.